Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning. Why, thank you, Paul. Some of you might have already noticed this morning I had a mask on earlier. I have not been feeling well, and so you guys are all safe. You're far enough away from me now, but I've taken that off. But if I'm not talking with you after service, it's not because I'm a diva and trying to hide somewhere. It's because I don't want to get you sick. So I really do believe this, that God has a message for someone in this room, and maybe it's for me today. We had our power go out here. I don't know if power in other places here at church, right before services start, an hour before service starts, which doesn't sound like a big deal at your house. You just turn your lights back on. But when the power goes out here, everything has to be reset. And so we're getting that scrounged around and then not feeling well. And both of our other pastoral staff, Dan Weaver, is out with the Kairos Mission prison ministry this weekend, and so we're grateful that he's out there ministering to those men there. And Matthew Hanks, our family minister, is with vacationing with family, and so you're stuck with me this morning. I want to share with you this message this morning, but I fully believe that that no matter what I say, that God is going to use something that happens in this morning, if he hasn't already, to reach out to you. And so I know our worship this morning has already been powerful, singing these songs that remind us and proclaim his goodness and his faithfulness. And so hopefully we'll get through this all right. You can hear me okay, I think. My voice hasn't gone out or anything, so thanks for bearing with me. Well, John Lennon once invited the world to imagine. You know, this beautiful song that so many of us know. He said, imagine there's no heaven or no hell, no religion. Really, he didn't say it this way, but no Jesus, right? The people would just live in peace. And many people still believe the world would be better if faith disappeared, if the church disappeared. And if we're honest, part of the reason that song still resonates with so many people today is not just because it's a beautiful melody, but because Christians themselves sometimes give people plenty of reasons to wish that it weren't true. Gandhi famously said, I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. So it's no surprise that surveys show that hypocrisy is one of the top reasons that people doubt Christianity. In fact, the Barna Group did a research just 2 years ago, and they found that Christian hypocrisy is the leading cause of doubts about Christianity. The hypocrisy of religious people was the most common response to people that were asked that call themselves nuns. Have you heard this phrase? Not nuns like N-U-N, but nuns, N-O-N-E-S. People say they have no religious affiliation at all. 42% of those said that hypocrisy was the reason why. There's a famous quote that I first thought came from the great theologian's DC talk in the 90s, because this is where I first heard it. If any of you guys listened to Christian music back in the 90s in the Jesus Freak album, there was a song that started off with a quote, and I thought in my middle school years that it was DC talk, but it actually was from the pastor Brennan Manning. You might have heard this. And the quote is, the single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. How many of you know someone, not by show of hands, but just quietly in your own heart, know someone who has walked away from church or maybe God entirely because of something that a Christian did or a Christian leader did? And maybe you felt that tug yourself as well. See, few things create deeper disappointment than discovering that someone you trusted in the church was wearing a mask. And over the last few weeks, we've been in a series called What to Do with Doubt. And last week, we looked at three ways that doubt shows up. It shows up in our questions that we can't answer. It shows up in our pain that's hard to carry, and it shows up in our sins that we won't surrender. We saw the week before that doubt, it isn't something to be afraid of, or that we should think that doubt automatically disqualifies us from relationship with Jesus, because doubt happens to disciples. Remember, doubt doesn't have to automatically destroy your faith. It may, in fact, be the very thing that deepens it. Doubt happens to disciples. And today we come to one of the biggest triggers of doubt, hypocrisy in the church. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus records his final, or he presents his final public sermon before he goes and is crucified. And I find that interesting that the last public words he said were about this very topic. In Matthew chapter 23, if you've got your Bibles, you can open up there. We're going to be jumping around a little bit between the verses 1 and 39. But starting in verse 1, Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law and Moses." He's saying, these are the guys that are, you know the rules, right? In verse 3, "So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach." Jesus then proceeds for the next 30 verses or so. We're not going to read them all, but the next 30 verses, he lays into these church leaders. Let's read some of it. Verse 4 says, "They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease a burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside." Those, your scripture might say phylacteries, and right, those are these things that they would mount on their heads or around their bodies that would have Bible verses in them. And sometimes they would put extra long Bible verses in these so that people could see them and be amazed at how religious they were. And they wear robes with extra long tassels. Verse 6, "They love to sit at the head table at banquets and in the seats of honor in the synagogues." Verse 13, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law." Or your translation might say, "Woe to you, religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites," with an exclamation point. "Hypocrites, for you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourselves, and you won't let others in either. What sorrow awaits you teachers of law and you Pharisees, hypocrites," he says again, for you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell you are yourselves. Verse 23, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Verse 25, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inward, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." How would you like Jesus to talk about you like that? There's something interesting about this. These are harsh words that Jesus is saying. But Jesus speaks the harshest, the most harsh words to those that are inside the church. All throughout the Gospels, as we see the message of Jesus, he showed mercy. He showed compassion, and he does here too. But he never spoke harshly to those who were lost. He demonstrated love, and he encouraged them, and he tried to pull them out of their sin. But the harshest words are for those inside the church. We often get this backwards, don't we? We condemn the world and we excuse ourselves. But Jesus, he flips it. He saves his sharpest words for the religious hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrite isn't simply doing something wrong, right? That's sin. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word hypocritus, and it actually means actor. You might have heard this before. This word that Jesus used when he used this word hypocrite, it would have struck a chord with people. It wasn't a word that was used much in the context of religious settings. It was a word saved for the entertainment industry. It was an actor. A hypocrite was someone who would wear these masks, as they often did back then in the Greek theater, to play different parts. And so Jesus is saying, these people are acting, they're pretending. There's someone wearing a mask. And over the course of these 39 verses, Jesus pronounces judgments, really, woes on these hypocrites. There's two main categories of these woes. He says, you're a hypocrite because you're valuing your image over your integrity. He calls them whitewashed tombs. You love the titles and outward polish and people looking to you. But he also says that you value rules over relationship. He says that you're caring more about following the rules than caring for the people. If you remember last week, I showed you this graph that kind of just can symbolize our wave, our journey, really, with Jesus, and that as we start off with Christ, we often grow, and then we face this dilemma, right? And it can present itself as maybe a disappointment, something that doesn't go our way, and that disappointment can lead to disillusionment, and that disillusionment can lead us to a place of desperation where we're crying out, and in those moments, we can make a decision to deny Jesus or to go towards him. And this disappointment, disillusionment, and desperation, many people find this not through some of the circumstances we talked about last week, but through hypocrisy in the church. People that were following Jesus and then maybe someone who they looked up to let them down. And I don't mean let them down like just made a slip up. Maybe they hurt them in a profound way. Maybe they abuse them. It could be all sorts of things. And the disillusionment begins to creep in as someone say, well, if these are God's people, can any of this be real? Where can I find something authentic? See, the biggest complaint about the church from most people in the church is that the church is full of a bunch of narrow-minded or judgmental or hypocritical people. And chances are you or someone you know has had those sorts of concerns. Maybe they were on the road following Jesus and someone, something happened that made them question, can this really be a good God if his people act this way? These people have had experiences up close. Maybe you've had experiences up close. Someone in the church hurt you. Maybe in a deep way. Maybe it was even a church leader, and you felt, if these really are God's people, is any of this real? A leader fell. Maybe a church split. You felt the letdown, and you wondered if this whole thing was just fake. But for many others, they never even got up close. They never even got to that point in their faith journey to experience that. Because especially with social media today, so many people will never even consider Christianity because of the hypocrisy that is so prevalent around them. Even if they are never personally hurt by it. I mean, it seems like every day we are hearing about another scandal in the church. Social media has amplified this, right? Every failure of a church leader is broadcast instantly to the world. And what I've noticed is that every time someone falls, even if they were just loosely associated with Christianity, the comments pile on. See, the world just needs to be done with Christianity. It's all hypocrisy. And the world can't help but think maybe John Lennon was right. Now, hypocrisy should never be ignored. Jesus, as we see, takes it deadly serious, and so should we. But the danger is, if this has become the only picture that Christians see, or that people see of Christians in the world, or at least the loudest picture that they see, that's when the constant feed happening over and over again. If that's the only picture or the loudest image that people see of Christ followers, it's not hard to understand why the number one reason is doubting Christ. Because if this is Christianity, why believe any of it? See, hypocrisy leads to two major questions. The first is, if Christians act like this, is Christianity even true? It's easy to think if people who claim to follow Jesus are corrupt, then maybe the whole thing is fake. But here's the truth. Our faith is not built on Christians. Our faith is built on Jesus. Or another way to say it, our Christianity is not built on Christians. Our Christianity is built on Christ. See, the failure of the followers of Jesus do not cancel the faithfulness of Jesus. So we can't judge Christianity by the perfection or lack of perfection of people. Second question that can often happen when we are faced with hypocrisy is, if I struggle, am I a hypocrite too? For those who maybe are following Jesus or trying to follow Jesus, you might start inspecting your own heart and say, if people knew my failures, would they call me fake? And this question is introspective and is important for each and every one of us to ask. Because if we don't address it, then we can indeed fall into hypocrisy. But this question, if not addressed properly, as good as it is to be self-reflective, something I would say most Christians should do more of, can lead to this next question, which we're going to talk about next week, is, am I good enough? Which leads to, I haven't done enough, which can then lead to us just giving up. Or doubling down in the process, which in turn almost always makes us more a hypocrite as we try to prove to the world around us that we really are worth it, that we really are good enough. If I struggle, am I a hypocrite too? So let's look at that for a second. Struggle is not hypocrisy. All hypocrisy is sin. There's no way around that. All hypocrisy is sin, but not all sin is hypocrisy. See, hypocrisy is hiding the struggle while pretending you don't have one. There's a difference between being hypocritical, though, and being a hypocrite. We see this in Galatians chapter 2. Peter, this great hero of the faith, he stopped eating with Gentile believers when certain people would come. And Paul called him out. We read in Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him, this is Paul speaking, to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers. Just a quick understanding here, if this maybe is not familiar to you. There were Jews, and then everyone else that's not a Jew is a Gentile, right? So most of us are Gentiles, even in this room. And the Jews had these Jewish laws that they followed. But when Christ came, things changed, right? They integrated the Gentiles into the family of God. And they no longer had to follow these rules in order to be acceptable to God. So when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers. Peter was hanging out with the fellow believers who were not from Jewish descent, who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. And as a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So was Peter a hypocrite? The same kind of hypocrite that Jesus condemned? You blind guides, woe to you. No, because there's a difference between being a hypocrite and struggling with hypocrisy. I heard a pastor that once put it this way: there's some fake in all of us. We all struggle. But if you confess, repent, and keep walking towards Jesus, you are not a hypocrite. You know what you are? A disciple. Because there's some fake in all of us. So how do you know if someone is a hypocrite or not? How do you know if you are a hypocrite or not? I heard this illustration not too long ago. I think a great way you can tell if you're a hypocrite or not is if you're a Christmas tree or a fruit tree. We all love Christmas trees, right? Everyone loves a Christmas tree. But what is a Christmas tree really? It's a tree that you cut down, or it's fake to begin with, and you put it in your house, and you decorate it, and you make it look good. And it really looks awesome for December. And then if you don't take it down after the new year, it starts to look a little less nice. And some people leave it out a little too long, and it starts to wither and look junky. See, a Christmas tree is decorated. It has lights, ornaments, but it's cut off from the root. It's decorated, but it's dead. Now, a fruit tree may not sparkle. It doesn't always have tinsel on it. We don't always take pictures next to it, but it's alive and it produces lasting fruit. Jesus himself tells us a way that we can know if we're surrounded by someone who's a hypocrite or if we ourselves are a hypocrite. Now, he's talking in the context of being able to recognize false teachers who are leading people astray, but here's the words he says in verse 17 of Matthew, chapter 7. A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. Hypocrisy is, being a hypocrite is being a Christmas tree. Impressive, decorated, but disconnected. But authentic faith, being a disciple who maybe even struggles at times with acts of hypocrisy, is a fruit tree rooted in Christ, producing what is real. That's going to come in a minute, okay? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and gotten food poisoning? Don't say the food out in the restaurant out loud. Or have you ever had truly terrible service? Did you swear off eating altogether? Had a bad experience. I got sick from that. I'm never eating again. Of course not. You don't give up on food. But so many of us, when we're faced with hypocrisy, are tempted to walk away from Christ. In the same way, a bad church experience or a bad Christian example doesn't mean you give up on Jesus. See, John Lennon, he had it wrong. A life following Jesus is much more beautiful life than a life without it. Sometimes there are hypocrites, and sometimes we act hypocritically. And for that, we have to repent. And for those who maybe have experienced pain from people who claim to be following Jesus, or even people pointing you to Jesus, and then they hurt you, or they set a horrible example for you, I'm sorry. But a beautiful song played poorly doesn't mean that the song is bad, right? You've already had a preview of it, but What's considered one of the most beautiful songs written in the last 30 years is Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. Let's take a listen to that for a second. Whether you're a fan of Titanic or not, you can't say this melody isn't beautiful. It's a powerful piece of beautiful music. Let's take a listen. Here's the finale. Is that a horrible song? You might think it is now. But it's considered a beautiful piece of music. But it was performed badly. And that's what so many of us have experienced with the church. It's a beautiful song that just is sometimes performed badly. And sometimes it's performed by people who are fake. I've shared this story before, but back when I was right out of college, I had moved to a new town, and there was some folks that wanted to start a band, and I play guitar, and so this young man, he said he played drums, and so we talked a lot about this. We got this whole group together, and we found a venue that we were going to practice in, because all of us were in tiny apartments, and we loaded up all our gear, and we went to this facility, and we all plugged in, and we're strumming, getting ready, and he had kind of set up these drums. He was struggling with a little bit, and we looked over, and we're like, okay, let's just start jamming. Just give us a beat. And he lifted up his sticks, and then he said, I actually don't know how to play drums. We were confused. It wasn't a joke, though. He somehow had just gotten in his head that he was going to do this, but he was pretending. He was a hypocrite. He had no skill in playing the drums. That's how some of us sometimes, unfortunately, have approached our walk with Jesus. We're telling people, look at me, follow me. This guy, he said he was a really good drummer. Can't play a note. That's a hypocrite. But there are also some times where we're just learning. And we're struggling. And yes, sometimes we fake it, and we have some hypocrisy, but we're searching after Jesus, and we might make mistakes, and it sometimes can hurt those around us, but just because a beautiful song is played badly doesn't mean the song stinks, and a badly performed Christian life doesn't mean Jesus is false. It just means the performer wasn't in the right spot at the right time, whether intentionally or unintentionally. So what can you do to help those who doubt because of their hypocrisy? Maybe it's someone around you, maybe it's you. If it's someone around you or someone you know, or even just, as I mentioned, the world around us, because the world is looking to us. We talked about that last week. Even if they will say they're not, they are. So the first thing we can do is live with integrity. Live with integrity. If you follow the rest of the story with Peter and his bout with hypocrisy, he repented. They figured it out. He didn't discredit the name of Jesus. You can live with integrity. Be the same person in public as you are in private. And that means confessing those shortcomings, confessing that sin quickly, not trying to hide it. That's when you begin to become a hypocrite. See, remember, hypocrisy isn't doing wrong. It's pretending to be right while hiding what's wrong. So live with integrity. And if you've experienced that hypocrisy in the church, or even a hypocrite, or many hypocrites, I want to encourage you, don't walk away. Don't walk away. Don't let that hypocrisy push you into isolation. Bring the light where there is a shadow. If you remember, we said last week, shadows don't mean the light is gone. It proves it's still shining. So for those who are struggling with doubt because of hypocrisy, the thing that we can do as believers is live with integrity. And to help those maybe who have felt that hypocrisy, don't walk away just because the song is played badly. And the third thing we can do is look to Jesus. The only one who never struggled with hypocrisy. The only one who never let someone down. The only one who always played the right notes at the right time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, we do this, and the this he's talking about is finishing our race, getting to the end of our life and following Christ through it all. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, the one who did it right. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor before God's throne. So live with integrity. Don't walk away. And look to Jesus. Because the song is beautiful. The Christian life is beautiful. The church is beautiful, even if we don't always show the world that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that our faith rests in Jesus, not on us. And God, for those of us who maybe have built our Christianity on Christians, we need to repent of that and recognize that we need to build our Christianity on Christ. Lord, may we be good examples, beacons of light, city on a hill, as we're told in Matthew, that cannot be hidden for the world around us. God, there are so many people right now who are struggling with doubt, doubting your love, doubting your forgiveness, doubting your grace, and it's often because of our hypocrisy. And so, Lord, I ask that when people look at us, the people in our lives, in our homes, in this church, in this community, that they would see people who are authentically following after you, even in their struggles, even when they maybe play the wrong notes or living hypocritically. May we correct ourselves. May we be people of integrity. And God, for those who we don't, will never see, maybe never know, but who look to us as an example to see if this is really real or not, Lord, I pray that you would be with them. Those unseen names and faces and people behind keyboards that are so inundated, Lord, with people who are not following you or living really maybe as the Pharisees and teachers of the law, as hypocrites, pretending that nothing is wrong in their lives while condemning others around them. Lord, I pray that you would show those people your beautiful song, that you would open their eyes to see the beautiful life that you have called all of us to and that you have welcomed all of us to who will call on the name of Jesus. And Lord, may we as a church, even through our struggles, even through our bad playing, may we grow closer every day to playing your song your way. May the world see that, hear that from our hearts, and be drawn not to the players, but to the composer. God, be with us. Help us to be people who shine your light, who proclaim your name and live your truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church together said, amen. Amen.